Man, you know what it is, man. This is the first episode of Deep Dive from the Memphis Listening Lab, where we sit down with a choice artist and we go over their greatest or latest project track by track. I am your host, WESN, after the I push the 8 to the side, West Infinite. And today, we are kicking it with somebody that I'm actually really, really, really happy to sit down with. If you know me personally, you know that one of my favorite local artists, I don't even want to say local, because bro is past local at this point, is this gentleman that I'm sitting across from today. He goes by the name of Pro. Yes, what's up, brother? How are you doing today?
Man, it's an honor to be here. Thank you. Thank you, Wes. Thank you, Ted, for letting me be here, rock with y'all. And you know, I got to do it the right way. My name is Pro Handsome Samson Dos Equis, the luxurious one. It's a lot of names, but it's happy to be rocking with y'all here today, man.
Come on now, Malcolm, two X's. Yes, how you doing?
Yes, sir. It's Handsome Samson because, you know, as the God, you're beautiful. That Handsome Samson size for that type
Okay. Yeah, I feel that. And that's what we're going to go over today. We're talking about his newest project. Just came out a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. God, you're beautiful. I'm really loving the project. I'm really, really loving it. It's a really different sound for you. You know what I'm saying? But we're going to talk about all that. Gotcha. So first things first, let's go ahead. We're going to jump into the first song on the project. It's called The Drought. Pro featuring I Speak With A Gift. Just going on in the background, you know what I mean? Where were you mentally when you put this project together? You know what I'm saying?
I was in a season of just a release, man. Seeing how kind of 2020 happened and how just 2021 happened, how like the world just got flipped on its head. There was my releases were supposed to look a lot different. And it's just like it got to a point to where I want, since COVID happened, like different situations, we had to just alter. And I felt like I was in a situation where I was starting to hold on to music. And I was just like, man, I'm really tired of doing this, because I always used to feel like I want to drop this when it's the perfect time. Right. I want to do this when it's the perfect time. And as life kept happening, I was like, bro, they ain't never no perfect time. So I want to say I just went into this mode. Like, can I be candid?
I was like,
yeah, like fuck it. I was just like, fuck it, man. And like, I'm just gonna like you. I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. I don't know if I'm gonna be here today. I don't know if I'm gonna be here tomorrow. So y'all gonna get this work. That's really how I felt. Right. And I just wanted to show people that I'm really not a one-trick pony as far as just how I create my music. That's why this project was just totally different. And I just wanted to show people how deep those sides can get. I wanted to create a whole persona and create a whole identity under that. So my whole idea was just showing people just better than I can tell you.
And you know what? I'm actually really, really glad you said that, because one of the things that I picked up from the album, it almost came off to me like a concept project. You know what I mean? Like it was really like based around either yourself or like this character in that's like on the front cover. You know what I mean? Where it's like kind of a journey through relationships, from where you're going to meet somebody and then being in that relationship, being into the thick of it, to kind of progressing into the honeymoon is over, to bitch, I hate you. And then the clarity afterwards, you know what I mean?
It's so true. And I want to say, like, this project, I want to shout out Marvin Gaye here, my dear.
Okay.
Because it was definitely on that same type vein. Like, I want to create a persona, but I want to talk about this chapter in my life when I had a crazy relationship that I was going through.
Okay.
And I just used those bits and pieces from that relationship just to tie everything together. So no, yeah, it's definitely a concept album inspired by, like, you know, true life events that kind of like were circulated in my past, man. And it just got me to this point.
For sure. One of the things that I also really picked up on is that I know, like, back on God Don't Like Ugly on John Boyega, the first track, you talked about how you got out of the hippity hoppity lyrical miracle and more like just being in a position to where you're speaking, to where you have like a connection with God, and it's just that being a mouthpiece like that. And I really like picked up on that, you know what I mean? It was a lot more melodic, it was a lot more, you know what I mean, you singing, you know what I mean, stepping out of that comfort zone of your raps and just like kind of putting more melody into it. So it was something that I just really, really, really picked up on. Before we get out of The Drought. I really want to talk about I Speak With A Gift. I had never heard him before. Mm-hmm. So give us a little information on him.
I Speak With A Gift is one of the coolest cats you will ever meet in your life. And when I say cool, I mean like in the awe of, like, you remember like how the cool kids was like growing up, just like, I want to be like that guy.
Yeah.
That's what I Speak With A Gift is. And when I say like, it's just the way he talks, the way he carries himself. You would think of I Speak With A Gift like a Larry June, like a Primo
Rice
type of Steve.
Okay. I catched it.
He's been one of my homies for a few years, and I've been just trying to find the right way to collab. Mm. And his verses are dope, but I just said, yo, Gift, I love you so much. I really just want you to talk. I just want you to serenade this joint. He was like, bro, you sure? I'm like, bro, I feel like it's gonna tie everything together.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this was gonna be the first song, but how fitting it's this song, The Drought, sounds different from any other of my intros I've ever had.
Right.
So I just wanted you to like to be drawn into this world. Mm-hmm. And I wanted his voice to kind of be similar to like the narrative. Like how T.I. on Travis Scott's album.
So almost on some shout out to what's my guy on that's on all the that's on all the like the Goody Mob projects.
Yes, bro.
Big Rube. Yeah. Shout out to Big Rube. Yes, you know what I'm saying? That's definitely those kind of vibes.
Definitely.
Don't need to hold a scissors ahead to know you a cut above.
Yes,
you know
what I mean? Bro. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely yeah. Shout out to Big Rube. That's exactly what I Speak With A Gift was.
For sure. For sure.
He can narrate children books if you wanted to, bro. That's a cool
thing. And I definitely I connected with the whole vibe of that song because it was like for the first time. Well, I won't say for the first time, but it was like a different take to hear a man say, you need more than sex to keep me here. You know what I mean?
That's one of my favorite hooks. I when I say that, I feel like I'm talking to somebody. It's like, I'm Facts. Really not trying to be cool. Like, it's not just about sex sometimes.
Right.
It's really just about
the connection.
Yes, the connection.
Yeah.
And I feel like people get too cool just to say that when it's a real thing that happens.
Facts. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Cool. So we're going to go through to the next track, track number two, Lil Mama Cold. And let's just dive into that. It really fit as the second track to me because, like I said, we're going on this journey of relationships, and you see a woman, and it's like you said, you need more than sex to keep me here, and then you turn around and you see Lil Mama, and you like, damn.
Bro, this song is special, man. Uh-huh. I want to say I got shout out to the ladies, shout out to the hustlers, bro. Shout out to the women that go out there and get it, like, you know, when, because they have no choice to go get it. And this was really like a homage to that, because when I finally just saw somebody who just I admired, and I had to write a song about it. Just like, I thought Lil Mama was so cold, not just physically, but just the mentality behind it. Like, I can't lie, like, I'm a sapiosexual, man. Like, if I fall in love with the intellect first.
Fair.
And it was just a situation where I fell in love with just somebody's intellect and understood their grind, understood their hustle. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful just watching it manifest.
And when the song comes on, it starts off, here we go again. Was that like a reference to the previous song, to where, like I said, you're speaking about those things that you necessarily are cool in a relationship, but it's not necessarily what you need. But then when you see her, you like, damn, you just kind of fall into that pitfall again. You know what I'm saying? Was that like a reference to the previous song?
Firstly, that's an awesome reference, but I would love to be like, yeah, but no, it's not. That's C Major's tag.
Oh,
But I will say, C Major is a genius enough to where like he puts his tag in certain places to where it does add to the story.
Cause I've listened to a lot of unapologetic music. I've never actually paid attention to that. So I would have never caught that. To be honest with you.
I ain't gonna lie, he just started using that tag maybe like a year. So it's brand new, but he adds that. And his name is C Major, but his name is CJ. And it's CJ from San Andreas. Say, oh shit, here we go again.
Shout out to C Major, man. No. Dude is definitely a genius when it comes to the way he lays out. Like, a lot of people, and this is like a key to people that are trying to make beats and get out there and really, really, it's more than just putting drum patterns over melodies. It's all about composition as well. Mm-hmm. And dude is really a genius in the way he composes his tracks. So shout out to C Major for sure on that.
Shout out to C Major. I wish I could see y'all see him, watch him create, because the thing that makes C Major different is he will sit down and like literally make a beat off of our conversation that we're having. It's rare that you can see a producer actually make a connection with you and find the rhythm of what you're trying to make just by talking to you.
Yeah.
And he just cooks that up from scratch. Like that's his superpower. So seeing you say that, like, it's amazing. Watching him work is a whole nother thing.
And before we move on, I just want to like shout out one of my actual my favorite lines in the song. You said, "Hit the bed, I become Jay Slayer."
Hey now. If you know, you know.
You know.
If you know, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out to everybody that caught that line, exactly, okay? Man. All right, so next song on the project that we have is Lemon Sugar. So I'm going to get that going in the back as we talk about that. So what is Lemon Sugar? Like what does that mean? I kind of have my own idea, but describe it to me.
Well, I'm not gonna like try to be super fancy. Like the original name for this song was honestly like called like Yes Bitch. Like so I was just like, cause I was like, cause you had money on my mind. I'm like Yes Bitch.
Yeah, okay,
and I was just
okay.
Like, man, that just doesn't sound like fitting enough. So I was just like, bro, do I want to call it Lemonade? Like no, cause I don't want people to get the off the juice.
Right.
So I was just like, bro, what could I call it? Because I call myself the Lemon Pepper Warrior. Like, I love lemon pepper.
Yo, you and these names, bro.
I love lemon pepper.
Yeah, okay.
So I was just like, you know, I got lemon sugar in my cup. I think when I was making a song, I was sipping, like, lemonade.
Okay.
So I was just like, lemon sugar. I feel like it just adds a certain type of, like, you know, sweetness to it. Because even though stuff can be sweet and sour in relationships, it's just like, you want to find that sweet spot in it, man.
Facts. Now, who produced this song? I didn't actually check the credits for it, so do you remember?
This was a piece of everybody. This was a piece of everybody. C Major was the lead. That guitar is Aaron James.
Okay.
Aaron James on guitar. I want to say it's Elo in the background, like harmonies. So it was like a three-man collaboration with that. I remember where we was at when we wrote it. Like we were trying to be like, all right, so Pro, what do you want to do? Like what does a hit record kind of like sound like to you?
Mm-hmm.
So this was one of those times where I just wanted to try something different. I was like, I know people can see me do my lyrical miracle rapidly rap stuff, but I want to show people I can kind of like paint a universe right here.
Right.
This song made me feel like I wanted the song to feel like when you're riding on a highway with something beautiful next to you, you smoking on the best weed, you just got paid, and it's like right at that 5 p.m., mm-hmm. 6 p.m., mm-hmm. like dawn, dusk feeling, like, it's just something so special about that. So, like, when I thought about Lemon Sugar, like, that's exactly what, like, that came to me. Just the most perfect day, nothing can go wrong. Let's just be in this fantasy right now.
And while we're talking about, like, favorite lines, my favorite line out of that is the way you said, I just want to kick it for the free, because it's just kind of like pierce through, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like we said we were talking before we actually started rolling, and we were just talking about how your voice just like kind of pierces through. So you were already doing these different vocal tricks, and then you just came through with that little bar. Hey, it just kind of like it just kind of punctuated the whole song, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you know what I'm saying, I really dig it, because I feel like it's something different from you, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like you said, we're kind of moving away from the lyrical miracle. Mm-hmm. And so just to hear you like use your voice almost as like an instrument,
mm-hmm.
Kind of gave a whole different layer to the entire project. You know what I mean?
Like I said, I'm glad you're catching it. Yeah. And the more I'm getting into my craft, I'm noticing I'm just falling in love with like what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So like I find beauty in simplicity.
Okay.
A lot of the beats, even the beats that I'm getting, like please don't even, you don't have to like super produce it, like just give me something that I have space to where I could like just try stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm having a lot more fun at, like it's just being creative.
Okay. And as we move on to the next song, we got a song that I really, 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 really kind of resonated to. When we got into like this middle portion of the project,
mm-hmm.
You can start to notice the tone change. You know what I mean? Because like I said, it's kind of like a progressive story, right?
Yeah.
So we get to the next song, which is song number 4. It's called Plug Walk. And it starts off with this skit. Where did that skit come from? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. One of my favorite shows, Mad TV.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, you know, it was
shout out to the 90s babies.
Man. So it was this skit they used to always have, and like, yo, the dude was trying to get this girl number, just bother her. He's like, oh, you cute. Can I have your number? No. And he just wore it down. You know.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Can I have your? Yeah.
You know it. Okay. All right. I'm with you.
So I was just like, he was just doing it, trying to just wear it down. So like, it finally kind of just happened, and I was just like, bro, that's kind of how it is. Like you just wear somebody down, and I just felt like that. It just sat so perfectly with this Plug Walk song. I just felt like it fit perfect.
Okay, and it's like it even makes even more sense now, right? Because the character or the person that you created in this world, right? It's almost as if like that same woman that he found in Lil Mama Cold has become more enamored with her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the description of, you know, the things that you find interesting about her and the things that keeps you coming back to her.
And it's nothing about sex, and it still ties back into
exactly. Exactly. Yep. It does. And that's something actually I didn't even think about. Mm-hmm. That it you never actually describe sex or have any type of sexual connotation in the song at all. It's purely about her, mm-hmm, and the things that keeps that person interested.
Yes, man. You're taking me back. And in creating this song, I want it's crazy. I feel like this is like if I ever had a feature with Frankie Beverly and Maze, I feel like it sounds like this.
Okay.
And just falling in love with a plug walk. Now, I wanted to create a song, tell a story, just like what if somebody fell in love with like a drug dealer and like just falling in love.
Okay.
And like just finding different excuses just to like, oh man, I'm going to pick up this 3-5 yeah, from you.
Yeah.
And you know, the weed ain't even hitting as hard. You can go over there and get some Zy from somebody else.
I already had the light, but I had to come to get 3-5 from you.
You know what I'm saying? Facts, okay. So it's just like, and like I said, just that walk, that plug walk, and just falling in love with that feeling. Cause we all got a special relationship with our barber. We all got a special relationship with who do our hair.
Facts.
We all got a special relationship with our weed person.
Facts.
So I just felt like, you know, how could I like just make this connotation just tie together a little bit more?
Okay. Okay, for sure. I was saying that one of my favorite lines off this one is, what is it? How you been official, but we never been official. Rather be disfigured before I try and dismiss you.
Mm-hmm.
Was that like a personal reference, or was that just you just in the moment?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. You asked me some serious questions. Can you help me out here, Tim? I'd rather be this who I have dismissed. It's just, you know, being in those moments, being lost in those moments, uh-huh, and just being raw. And like, you know, those things is like, bro, we shouldn't be doing this, but we here right now. So yeah, it's just kind of like, I'm trying to walk it back down, but the feelings is already there and they already strong.
Facts.
So that's kind of how, like, yeah, that whole joint came about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No. I feel you. Okay. So the next song that's on the project is honestly my favorite. It's probably one of my favorite songs from you in a while. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I've been listening to you since, when did it come out? 2013, 14? Something like that. Okay. This is definitely one of my favorite tracks from you, period, bro. It's called East End. Shout out to the skaters, shout out to everybody that used to go to East End Friday, Saturday night, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It also features Shekinah singing in the background.
That's my sister girl, and she has a show tonight, as a matter of fact, in the green room.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
I knew she had a show coming up. I just didn't know the exact date, so I didn't want to get it wrong.
If I'm wrong, sis, don't be mad at me. I'm gonna be there.
But yeah, so time is the biggest commodity. Won't you come bother me?
Y'all gonna laugh. This song, it's so funny. Listen to the song. I try not to get emotional because it's like that first line is not even about love. That first line is about my mom.
Okay.
Like, and it's so funny. Like, I remember where I was, like, when I wrote East End. I was working, like, I still, you know, still hustling. I was working a little job, man, a little kind of dead-end job. But, and C Major had sent me the beat. That's Aaron James on guitar again. And he just sent it to me. And it was a call center job. Now, I'm so good. Like, you know, I can sell salt to a slug. But at this job, like, you know, I got people yelling at me, cursing me out. But while they're cursing me out, I actually was writing a song. It was weird. It was just like, I'm making these phone calls, but I'm hearing this beat. And I'm like, blah, 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 blah. But I'm actually talking to them, but I'm writing a song. And I was going through a real rough time with, honestly, my mom. I was going through a rough time with my mom. And I felt like it was kind of like, she really didn't fully kind of understand me, and I love my mom, but she just doesn't understand the music stuff.
Facts.
So she would just feel like, you know, you spent all this time doing all this stuff, but you know what I'm saying, what about this, what about that? And like, I was really just hurt at this time. And the first line is like, you know, time is the biggest commodity, won't you come bother me, because I feel like my mom was just acting like that because she just wanted my time, she just wanted to be around me. And I was just like, time is the biggest commodity, won't you come bother me? Cause I really, really need love. Baby, I just want a piece of.
Okay.
So that was really, that first line is by my mom.
Okay.
And it ties to get like, I just, you know, I love her and I just know how important time is. And then after that line, it's kind of like, I had like an epiphany moment. I just started thinking about like the love of my life and just how much we've been through and how like that time has just molded us. And like, yeah, that Eastern song is mostly about the love of my life, but those first few lines are about my mom.
And it's like, excuse me, it's like so crazy. Like the vocal performance that you do on there, that you put together, the way you sing the notes, the way that it kind of melds with the beat, is like, it's a perfect track in my opinion. The way you put that together. And when you were talking about the call center jobs, I've worked one too, so I completely like understand the way you have to like compartmentalize what's going on the phone versus the thoughts that you're actually having in your head, because that's like one of the like the most soul crushing jobs you can have, bro. That's like one of the most, oh my god, just to have people just like yell at you about something that you can't control. So you know what I mean?
But I'm not gonna lie to you, I was horrible, because it got to the point, like I said, I've been doing those jobs so long, like I don't know how I didn't get fired, because it got to the point I would curse people out back. Like,
yeah,
I did.
No,
I'm like, man, fucking, no, fuck you. Like, because it's like, it's so intrusive.
Facts.
For you to just think you could truck talk, bro, I don't want to call you.
Yeah, you can't just unload. Like, I understand you're mad for whatever, but you just unloading on me, and I got my own things going on. I got my own life going on. Yeah. And the fact that you were able to write a song while you were doing
to my call center homies, if you know, you know, because that's how I knew. I was like, I'm having an auto. First off, that's how I know I'm an autopilot.
Facts.
I'm having an out-of-body experience, because I was like, man, I'm writing this while I'm up here. Like, this, I didn't write East End and like, no studio lavish. I was at this rinky dink spot, and I was just like, fuck this, bro. I was in the zone. I was hanging up phone calls. I was like, I don't know what I got right now, but I got something. So yeah, I ran to the studio like, no, y'all gotta hear this.
Yeah. No, the only thing that I will say that I don't like about the song is the fact that it's only 2 minutes and so long, bro.
I do that on purpose.
Like, yo, I was like, the first time I heard it, I was pissed the fuck off, because I was like, yo, this shit is amazing. That is not long enough, bro.
I blame people. I'm a big fan of Valet.
Yeah.
And bro, a lot of his songs be like 38 seconds.
Facts, yeah.
I'd be so mad.
He's the short song king for sure.
I said, run it back.
Run back. And this was actually in my notes. This is the last note. It says, get on his ass about the length. Pause. Okay. So, yeah.
I got you. I'm going to switch it up a little bit more.
But no. It's a great song. Yeah. So the next song on the project is Genie. So we can go ahead and get into that one as well. C Major production again.
Kid Maestro.
Oh, Kid Maestro.
Yes, that's Kid
Maestro. Okay.
And I gotta say that, because this how he's originally from Chicago, the birth of house. Because y'all know house was by Black music.
Facts.
Black.
Absolutely. So, and that was what I was gonna bring up. So I'm glad you said that.
Man, and this is another one of those cases where I was just like, bro, I really want to show my range. I was like, bro, I want to make a house song. Mm-hmm. So he was just like, okay. I was like, you from Chicago? I want to like study, like, you know what I'm saying, house artists. I don't want to just jump into it. I want to treat it the right way. So he was like, I think we should flip Percolator.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. So that's why, you know, it's time for the Percolate. Okay. That's what that is. So I was just like, you know, I just got the writing. Like, I can't say this song came from nowhere. I just wanted to create a song that had a house vibe. In like 2016, 2015, 2016, I moved to Atlanta for a year, and I used to be in a lot of house clubs. And for me, I was just like, I loved just watching the energy. It was so different from hip hop clubs.
It is.
It was so freeing. And I was doing a lot of shrooms at that time too.
Facts, okay.
So
okay.
I was just like,
Shout out to the shrooms.
So I just wanted something where people could just, you know, escape and get lost in that moment. And I feel like Genie went above and beyond.
I'm glad you said that, because that was actually my question. My question was going to be that the way that the beat is structured and it's so upbeat, the house influences, was that like a purposeful juxtaposition from the rest of the album, mm-hmm. to where it has, the rest of the album has a particular vibe, and this is kind of just a bam, left field, just kind of hit you in your face type vibe? Yeah,
that's exactly what it was. And honestly, so funny part, I forgot Cameron was on the song. We made Genie, I'm not even gonna lie, maybe like 2018.
Really?
Yeah, 2018. But it was just one of those situations. How could I make this song fit on a project?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was just like, I can't just throw this on a rappy rap project. So I feel like with this joint, I forgot Cameron was on there. Or I think Cameron recorded his verse when I wasn't even in the studio. So when I went back to it, like, I had one version of Genie, and I was like, yeah, I want to put this on a project. Cam Maestro was like, you know, we got a whole nother version with Cam on there. I was like, what?
Really?
Cam was like, I sang on there, and when it dropped, Cam was like, oh, bro, whoa, what is that? She said, whoa, what is it? So we both were kind of just in shock, because it was like, bro, it went so much more above and beyond, because I forgot Cameron was there. I was like, when y'all do that?
Yeah.
So that was this moment. I get so much love from this Genie track, because I was nervous, y'all. I was nervous, because I feel like any artist trying something different, you just get those jitters. But I was just like, this is a total juxtaposition, different from my other type of music. I'm just excited to see what people will say, and people love Genie. I've earned a lot of more fans just from this song, and people have flipped this song. I got a nice little house crowd, so I'm just grateful. I wanted them house fans, man. I wanted them house fans.
No, it worked. It definitely was, because one thing that like we got going on now with hip hop is everybody's kind of jumping on the house wave, and the issue I feel like. Because I really appreciate house music.
Mm-hmm.
I think what really is the issue is that it's not necessarily from artists that we expect one thing from,
mm-hmm.
but it's more so it's not a real respect for the medium. You know what I mean? It's kind of just like a let me jump on this wave type deal.
Yep.
And this was like something that actually worked. It, mm-hmm. it fit what you think of. If I never knew who Pro was, I just heard this on a house music station, or if I went to a club in a different city, a house music club in a different city, I could hear this playing and be blown away by the song itself and not necessarily, oh, that's a Pro song that tried house. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I promise. That's all I care about. Like, I'm the type of person that's like, I don't really care. I want you to be a fan of me because I know I have a cool personality and friendly person, but that's the main reason why I really don't put myself on my album covers. If you look at it, you've probably seen like cartoonized drawings.
Yeah.
But you never really see me. I never want that to be the lead in for me. I really rather you fall in love with like the music and then the character. Now I never separate the character from the music, mm-hmm. but I really want you to fall in love with the music, so it's just a genuine love there, because that's what really ties us all together. So I'm just glad you said that, because that's really who I am.
And you were still able to like put the bars in there. You know what I mean? You had a section where you were like, you so independent, you need my attention. Trust is hard to come by. Can I get a witness? I become vicious. You be so malicious. Love me like you hate me. Feeling stupendous. That little section right there.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? What was that about? What?
Just like the sporadic feelings, like I feel like this, I feel like that, I feel like this, yeah. I feel like that, you know, and it's just like, you know, just going through those emotions, just like I said, I'm talking to a genie, and it's just like, you fit all my fantasies, you fit all of these things, and it's just like, you know, it's like, it's almost damn near toxic, like, I'm like, ooh, look,
ooh, okay.
it's damn near malicious, but then, you know, say, and then when we feeling good, then we get to arguing, you know, wait, why are you gonna argue for, arguing all, acting so religious, need a daily bread devotional, and like, you know, yeah. It's just like, one minute is this, next minute is that. It's all those things that happen in relationships.
Okay, cool. All right, so the next song that we have on the project is called Regret.
Ooh, one of my favorites.
One of my favorites. All right, and actually, I really like this song too, because this moves into the last portion of the album where, like I said, the honeymoon period is over, cool. Right?
Yes, sir.
And after you've been with someone for so long, you can only mask your true qualities for so long before that starts, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. making yourself apparent, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just speak about that. Just speak about.
Well, I feel like Regret was, personally, I feel like one of my best written songs just ever for me, because I feel like this was an honest and like and sincere like a song about like when you have those vulnerable moments to be like, you know, did I make the right decision?
Mm-hmm.
Did I not make the right decision? Like, am I supposed to be doing this stuff? So it's just like I wrote in a fact of like a guy that was trying to get his act together with a girl that, you know what I'm saying, who know who he is, but he always got excuse. You know, I pulled a blade again. What you gonna say this time?
Right.
So it's just like the regret of like that slow resentment building up. But you just like, yo, just give me another chance. Like, you know, I'm gonna get it right. And it's just like, you know, going through all those ups and downs and seeing if you want to rock with that person. And this, I feel like, you know, that's just something that people really truly don't want to talk about. I guess, you know, feel vulnerable enough to be like, you know, should I be here? Should I be having these thoughts? It's kind of like that raw moment right there. That's where we're at. That was my whole thought process behind Regret and making a cool jazzy bop, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. It has a really nice tempo to it. And one thing I did notice about this project versus God Don't Like Ugly, the one you did right before,
mm-hmm.
Was that it seemed like you were really, really, really purposeful with the amount of features and who you featured on the project. You know what I mean? You only have, what, 5 features, but it's only 3 people, correct?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
And my sister, Unique.
Shout out to Unique. I was going to bring her up because I met Unique, 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They, like, back when she first started rapping, she was rapping with another young lady. She went by Nina 9. I don't know if Nina's still rapping. They had a little group called FemC. She was,
I remember them.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was part of them.
She messed with them for a little second. Yeah. She was always dope.
Was Duchess in that group?
I want to say so.
Okay.
I want to say so.
Okay.
This is some In the weeds, Memphis rap type stuff. I met her a lot. She probably won't even remember me, but yeah, I used to be around her then. Sometimes she used to come by the crib that we were at, and because I lived with this other guy that was rapping, my homeboy Deuce, and this guy named Behave. He would come through. They would bring her through all the time, and so just seeing her progression is like really crazy.
She's a phenomenal writer, phenomenal writer, and like the way, and I feel like it's certain people that just have synergies, like musically. Like she know I can give her something, and she'll just know what I'm thinking. So it was a situation I just like I could just throw it to her, and she alley-ooped it, and just I can't put it in words. I love sis though.
Yeah. No, shout out to Unique for sure.
Yes,
for sure. She was one of the first like Memphis female rappers that I heard that was like musically making singing and rapping, and it was fitting.
It was
fitting together well, like Lego bricks. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So shout out to her on that for sure. All right, so we're almost through the project. We're almost through. We're on track 8 now at this moment. Incarceration. So before we start playing it, it's like I feel like just that title in itself is like a heavy, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
title. So before we just like really get into it, just give us a little like background on it.
Fun fact, I'm gonna let you know, this is the oldest song on the album. This song is from 2016.
Okay.
This song's from 2016, and it was when I was living in Atlanta.
Okay.
That little, I made that, I was like, when I moved to Atlanta, it was me, I was making my own beats. I made that beat off my phone, off an IMPC app. And I'm sitting there like,
okay.
I was on shrooms, and it was just boom, boom. And I was just doing just simple, because I thought I needed something simple.
Yeah.
And I was when I was like, bro, I really want to do something with house music. So, and I was seeing a lot of house clubs, and I just, so it just came to me. I was on shrooms, and I was like, what if I just told a story about how sometimes you feel like locked, a prisoner of love, like you feel incarcerated by love. And it's just like, you know, and I don't want you to lock my love away, so I won't ever see it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like, you know, instead of like all this plight that we go through as black people, let's talk about the incarceration of love and the woes of being a prisoner of love that you can't let go.
Yeah.
You can't be freed. So that was that literally. And then I brought this idea to I Make Mad Beats, and he just like, oh, he brought it to life. He revamped it, added the Moog machine to it, and just added different subtleties that just slowed it down and made it super spacey.
Yeah.
I wanted people just to get lost in the world to this joint. That's why the intro was so long.
Yeah.
And I know I notoriously do short songs, but I wanted to do a long song. So I was like, I don't want to have to talk too much. I really just want you to press this joint and just go. And that was my whole psyche behind incarceration. I'm just telling that story.
Yeah, because that was also one of my notes that I noticed. It was the only song that you actually had like a production credit on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting here. You made that on the IMPC app on iPad?
No, on iPhone.
Oh, iPhone. That's crazy. Like, and you and I Make Mad Beats have like a crazy like synergy together whenever you guys like actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So just because like, this is one of the songs that you have to listen to on headphones, just because, like you said, the small little intricate details that he added to the track,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It really brings it out when you can really, really hear it. It really adds to it. And then you throw in the way that you used your voice on it. You know what I mean? The different voices that you used.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of like,
I was trying to be very conversational. Like I'm talking like, man, I'm trying to, I was real purposeful about that.
And I feel like it, it's almost like an immediate like flip of regret, to where how regret, you notice you have all of these regrets, you have all of these things that you noticed in a relationship that you might not necessarily be a fan of,
mm-hmm.
but once you break up with somebody or once you separate yourself in a relationship, you still have those feelings of, man, you know what I mean? Did I make the right decision?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it was something that I really appreciated, because it's easy for us as one as men, and then two men in hip hop, to be like, fuck that bitch. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But no one ever really speaks about the time where you're sitting in bed, it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
You're sick as hell.
And you sick. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you're wondering like, damn, did I do the right thing? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
And that, man, that's so, I just feel like, don't run from those vulnerable moments, and don't run to being machismo about it. Like, feel that. Because at the end of the day, like, this is how I say it. Like, if somebody were to make my emotions, to make me just, like, bring me out of my character, just know that I don't know what they're going through in their end, but in some type of capacity, they're affected. So it's not ever, it's not really ever really truly one-sided. You might be a little bit more hurt, but trust me, like, if you feeling some type of way, you wake up 3 a.m, trust me, it's been a day they woke up 6 a.m, then thought about it like, yo, did I make the right decision?
Facts.
It's just, we so much more similar than we are different, and I think about that all the time, and I just want to just speak on that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to be vulnerable in those moments.
Yeah.
And just own it. Own it, yeah.
And like I said, the way that you vocally played with your instrument on the song, I had brought it up earlier before we started rolling, was that I had read, it was like an essay that I Make Mad had put out. It was like, you know, because he does that from time to time.
That's true.
And he was talking about you. This was, I want to say, back when you like first came back to Unapologetic, because I know it was a point in time that when you moved to Atlanta, it was a break off there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he was talking about how one of the biggest things that drew him to you was the voice. You know what I mean? He went to one of your shows when he came back from NY, and he saw everybody was fucking with the music. Everybody like knew you. Everybody like knew the persona, but your voice was crazy. So you did you purposely go in there and was like, yo, I'm just gonna flex on this song? Or was it just like a kind of natural progression type thing?
On Incarceration? No, I wanted to use, I just wanted to really just showcase my voice in a different way. Like I said, I didn't want the beat to do too much. And like I said, I'm trying to take my thoughts back to 2016. I just wanted you to feel the hurt I was kind of going through of trying to figure out life in some type of capacity. So I just wanted you to, I really wanted you to feel it. Like I said, I was on shrooms. So I just wanted you to feel. I wanted you to feel. I didn't want to do too much to try to like look for the emotions, just like naturally let it do that. So that's where I was at with that.
And if you've never done shrooms before, is you can't really understand the level of emotion that you have. Like people hear hallucinogenics and they think seeing spotted bunnies and, you know what I'm saying, flying dragons and shit. But I tell everybody, it's more so a mental thing than anything, because you have to, one, convince yourself that you're fine. You have to, two, convince yourself that the things that you're seeing are just the drugs. And three, you have to also convince yourself that if you start spiraling, that you can pull yourself out of it. Yep, you know what I'm saying?
You got to be your own gatekeeper, I'll call it.
Facts. Yeah. So it's like a range of emotion. And if you can pull yourself through that, then you can really like accomplish anything.
Talk to him.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So to understand the fact that you were on shrooms while you were doing that, it makes complete sense. Man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to shrooms. Shrooms definitely gave me, you know, my ego death and made me just realize there's deeper things about myself. So I'm a super big advocate for that. And you know what I'm saying, man? Shrooms being used in the right way, but please
fact, get your
dosages right. I've had homies that gone crazy.
I have too. And that's what made me stop. The last time I did, one of my close homies had a really, really, really bad trip. But that was because he wanted to push himself to see how far he could go. And he went far. So, you know what I mean?
I got you. One of my homies got locked in Lakeside for 2 weeks. He took maybe like, I don't even know how much. But he was walking around, I am God. I am God. Like standing on police cars. So I'm glad he made it out alive.
Yeah. I've seen the bad side of it. And like I said, that convinced me to leave it alone. I got what I needed to get out of it.
Yes, sir.
All right, so next track that's on the project is Take a Seat.
Ooh, yeah, I can say this is my Take a Seat is my favorite. Just
really, and why is it?
Take a Seat is my favorite. It's not even nobody, you know, I Unapologetic that produced it. A good friend of mine named Lee Mars. Phenomenal.
Okay, because I read the credits and I didn't recognize the name, so I'm gonna ask you about that.
Lee Mars, but he's just like an associate homie. He rocks with the team so tough and super great producer. This joint, nah, shout out to everybody, but it was so funny. In my relationship, everybody has something to say. Like it's hard to date a rapper because everybody has something to say.
Right.
He should be doing this, he should be doing that. And it's so funny to me. Like, I've been in a relationship for about 8 years, and you know, I love my lady in my life, my woman in my life, my spouse, my wife. She's good. She's my queen. You everything, baby. but the thing that made this joint special was just like, I find it hilarious how people have so much to say, advice to give about your relationship,
right,
what you should be doing, what you should be doing. You're like, yeah. But then you look at their receipts and their relationship, and be like, bro, you ain't even married.
It doesn't match.
Yeah, you're not married. You're not talking to nobody. So it's just like, but at the end of the day, me and my relationship is how we conduct ourselves, but we happy, we great. And the thing is, it's just like, you trying to tell us how we should be living, but we happy and you not. So I said, you know what, how about you take a seat? So this joint was really just me saying, like, you know, I love y'all, but F y'all. It was kind of like a diss record to the people who love me but got something to say about my relationship, because you don't understand. Like,
right.
And I wanted to say, like, man, me and she got my back. She grind for me. My favorite line in that joint, you know what I'm saying? Last week, me and Bay ate seafood. Why by the lakeside? Them crab legs taste different with flow money. I had to take time.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
come on now.
Back up off me.
Yeah.
That's why I take a seat. It's more my brag. And I feel like I did it in such a cool way because it's still a bop. But yeah, and it's different. And I was just like, this is one of those few times that I stepped outside of the squad and just created a vibe. And it just, I don't know, it just takes me back to that moment. Like, yo, trust yourself. Trust yourself in your relationship. Trust the position that God put you in. And just, you know, move with grace. That's take a seat special. And that's why I put that gen at the end. His hair, whack, his shoes, me, I'm tired. Fuck.
Like, yeah. Okay, for sure. And before we get into the last one, do you do that a lot? Do you take those personal experiences or those personal emotions that you're having at the time and immediately pin that? Or is that something that you put, like, in a memory bank that you go back and think back on?
Sometimes I put it back on, but I like using it now. So no, I do that a lot. I do that a lot. And when this is over, I gotta let y'all hear something before we leave out of here. But no, yeah, I do that a lot, man. I use emotions now because you'd be shocked and surprised. Like, people want relatability. Like, I can kill you with bars. I can whoop de woo say, oh, that's a hard line. But you find the most pivotal lines to be the most simplistic joints that come from a real place. Like when I heard that Glorilla Junt, when she was like, you know, looking good today, I just sent my nigga 5 attachments.
Yeah.
I said, hold on, bro. Like, 5? Bro, hold on. Let's break this shit down. Like, 5? Right. Man, I might get 1 or 2. Your girl said she sent you 5 attachments?
She was feeling good.
Bro. Simple lines that really, like, stand out. Yeah. I love that. I'm like, I think about that line. I said, bro, that's a hard line. That shit's up there. So it's just like, that's how I just treat stuff. I just try to use the moments in the now and just try to find simple things that's just majorly relatable.
Yeah, because to speak on, like, those simple lines that just make sense. My favorite line out the song is, you said, I'll share my Popeyes with you.
Bro.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, that's serious. Hold on. That's serious.
Let me say y'all the funny. I'm glad you say that. Listen, so I love Popeyes. Like, my girl know I love Popeyes. So, you know, I let her hear all my stuff. So I was just like, babe, I got to let you hear this. I'm so hyped. And she's so honest with me. She was just like, I love you, my nigga, but you so cap. I was like, what you mean? She was like, nigga, you would never share your Popeyes. She said, yo, selfish ass. She said, pot pie, nigga. So whenever that line come on, she don't even care if I'm in public. I'm like, share my pop. Cap.
Chill.
I said, man, it made me laugh. I was like, and then I had some Popeyes next time. I was like, no, bro, you be happy for a biscuit, bro.
Like, you can get the biscuit, but if you sharing the chicken, oh, that's real.
I know.
That's real.
I will share my Popeyes with her, but my girlfriend, she greedy. She know it too. She said she's greedy, so I just try to hoard my Popeyes.
Yeah, no, you got to. You got to.
I will share my Popeyes if necessary, though.
But yeah, that's the important thing. It's about the sentiment. It's the thought that counts.
Yes, you know sir. What I mean? Yes, sir.
All right, so there. I said we're on the last track. We're actually not. It's one more before the last track, which I really want to dive into because I feel like that's a really, 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 really personal song. It's probably one of the more personal songs I've heard from you in a while.
Yeah.
But before that, it is Medusa featuring Cam Bethany. Shout out to Cam.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this song. This is probably, outside of East End and the last one, So Relieved, my next favorite song on the project. It's just really, really interesting. The whole composition of the song is so different, you know what I mean? And just give me a little background on it.
Woo, man. I was in a very, I remember this session. This session was different from any other session ever. I saw something. It was in the studio. It was an unapologetic sound day. And our sound days is like we all get together in the studio. We just cook up. You know, sometimes, you know, we just cook up songs for other artists, sometimes for ourselves. It was me, C Major, Elo, and Offum was in the lab. So we was about to, I was scrolling on Instagram. And I saw something that just hurt my heart. I don't speak on it. I was being wild. I just saw something that hurt my heart. Just like, dang, shawty, for real?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If that's how you feel. And it just made me I remember just writing. The C Major was like, you want to start on something? I said, and my heart was like racing. I was like fighting mad. And I was just like, C Major just cut something on. And it just like, it was just something the way it made me feel. It was like a see-through anchor. And I had like a That's So Raven moment. When I have these That's So Raven moments, when the lyrics just start writing themselves, like I'm not even thinking. Yeah. This is an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
I started writing. And I felt like, and in the midst of me writing, I was just like, Offen was like, oh shit. Elo just sat up and just started cooking. He was like, because I'm not going to say nothing. Nobody's talked to me because they said, I was even writing like, I was like, then Nick, talk to Pro. We just going to let him have this moment. I remember Offen was like, oh, let me add something. Nah, bro, I got it. And he was just like,
okay.
Yeah, bro. He left the studio and I was just like, this is one of those moments. I'm just in the moment. I'm like, see, Major, record. That's recording now. Now just recording. Now just like, I blacked out for like 2 hours and it was just like a raw Medusa moment. Like, man. It was just one of those moments. I made this song maybe like 2019. It was just like, don't play me. Don't play with me, bro.
Yeah. And even with the, now that you say that, now that you've given that description, it makes so much sense because even with your cadence, the way you attack the beat, in the morning I wake up, a feeling is everything. You were like, on the beat. Like you was literally fighting the beat, basically. you know what I mean?
The more I think about it, I was like, bro, nigga, not fake it. Baby, I was there. That's all I could say. This song is special to me. And I was like, man, I don't even know, you know, being an artist after a while sitting on, I was like, I don't even know if people still feel the same way about it. I don't know if I'm tripping, but like, if for you to say that, it just takes me back to a place because it was just a pure, just rage aura. Oh my gosh, man. It was a zone. But yeah, this song is so special.
So did Cam get on it when you wrote it then, or was that a later addition to it?
I think he was there. I think he got on it that same night. But after I left studio, I was on some like, I just went into another room. So I think they started working on it. But I just know I should go into another room. After I laid my shit, I just walked out. And they was just like, all right, bro, we can lay something. I was just, all right. And I think I heard it maybe the next day. Even when they played to me, I was like, yeah, that's great, bro. I was so up here. So that was Medusa. No, it's still one of my favorite songs. And I was just like, I sat for a long time like, yo, should I release this? And I finally like felt it was a perfect place, perfect time to put on this project.
No, yeah, it was a great compliment to the record. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Cam really, really killed his parts on it. Like he's really, I've always felt like Cam was very talented, but on this, he really like kind of punched a different like vibe that I got from him. And I was like, yo, this is fucking amazing, yo. Like that was one of the first songs I heard on this outside of East End where I like ran it back immediately because I was like, yo, that shit is crazy, yo.
I salute C Major, I salute Elo. Oh man, I salute them for, I salute all of them. I apologize to him the day after. I was just like, I was like, bro, I'm sorry about that. He was like, bro, you good? He said, man, I don't know what you was going through. I just said, I guess you have it. I was like, I'm sorry, bro. I didn't mean to like, no. I was in a dark place, bro.
No, we all been there. You know what I mean? We all been there. And so the last song on the project is So Relieved. Before I start playing it in the back, and before I even get you to give me some little background information on it, I just want to shout out Unique on this song because, yo, her verse, crazy.
Bro, this how special she is. This is my sister, and I love the fact I have a relationship with her where I like as an artist to where I could be like, damn, she killed it. You ain't about to live.
Yeah.
She sent this song to me. It was a C Major sent this beat to me. I couldn't think of nothing. So she said, hey, bro, C Major sent me this joint, so I got something. And she said, hey, bro, I'm talking about when I got catfished in a relationship. I was talking to somebody for like 12 years, and they catfished me like the whole relationship.
Wow.
And she just said, like, yeah, these ups and downs. I then went back and forth, and they played. And I was so like,
that makes even more sense listening to the verse now. That's crazy.
And I was just like, damn. And in the same breath, I was like, that's amazing. And in the same breath, I was like, what the fuck I'm going to talk about to kind of top that? And I was just like, man, people tell me, like, bro, they love my artistry. But I felt like I show y'all pieces of myself. But people feel like, you know, sometimes I'm not as vulnerable as that. So I said, okay, let me really tell people where I come from, my little background, and, like, you know, my upbringing, and like how my relationship with my pops. So yeah, like all of that is like, all of that is true. All of that is like super true. You know, so I got a lot of love for my pops, but
simple enough. It's just like, you know, black man had to figure it out on his own. Yeah. Still trying to figure stuff out. You know what I'm saying? It's just weird to me. And I just wanted to, just speak on that, bro. Like, I just really just wanted to give people a glimpse of that. It's nothing really more, nothing less. I just had to speak on that.
Was that hard?
Man, how could I say? It's like, because I did it. And I feel like I was so poignant about it. It was just more so like, it's just interesting, bro. It's interesting. It's just interesting after just hearing it. Because it's just like, even though it's still a song, it's still real. You know what I'm saying? That's what's interesting to me. Like, it wasn't, I don't even think it was hard talking about it. I just felt like I didn't care to talk about it. Like, I didn't care to even, like, you know, I never was one of those kids. I say this, like, you know, my pops went in my life, but I never really, like, talked about it. I never really complained. He wasn't there. But it's just like, as I'm getting older, it's some things I'm like, damn, bro. But then just, it still is a disdain for me. I'm not going to lie. It's seeing my pops, like, you know what I'm saying, just raise a whole nother family. And it's kind of like, damn, bro, like, you just raised, like, yeah, and raise kids that ain't even like yours. Nigga, I look just like you. It's just weird to me. And yeah, as I'm seeing my friends have kids and seeing, like, the love they have, I say, bro, like, there's no excuse for it. Like, no matter how hard you went through, blah, blah, blah. So it's just, that's more so just weird to me. So it's like, I'm always going to love my pops because, you know what I'm saying, if I wouldn't be here without them. But it's weird. I don't really have no relationship with that side of the family. I remember at times, I'm just being candid, like, he was like, hey, man, you know, if you ever want to meet, you know, my wife and these kids, I'm like, fuck no, bro.
Fuck. Like, why? You know, why would I?
Yeah.
Right.
And then hearing stuff like years about, like, yeah, no, you know, they listen to your music. I don't give a fuck about them.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah.
But it's so, it's just like, it's just a weird relationship. But I just, like I said, man, I just wanted to relate to the people that just went through situations like that, man, and just be a voice for that, really, man.
And
it's hard for me to put in the word because, like I said, this is not something I'm normally
do.
Yes,
right.
So
right.
It's just different.
And that's why I noticed it. I think that was why it stood out to me when I first listened to the whole project as a whole. Because when I spoke with you and I knew that you were going to come and do this, the first thing I did was I sat down and I listened to the whole thing. I had heard like bits and pieces of it, but and even when going just back, full transparency, you were the first person I thought of. I was like, okay, I got this opportunity. First person I want to talk to is Pro, because I didn't get a chance to talk to you from my old podcast. I actually interviewed I Make Mad Beats back when I did the old one. And I told him then, I was like, two people I have to speak with. I have to speak with Pro. I got to speak with Awful. He was like, man, they'll do it. You know what I'm saying? They'll do it. Especially Awful. He'll be perfect because he's going to go crazy.
Awful got stories. See, my interview or Awful interview, two different interviews. So, Awful got stories.
So he was like, go for it. I was like, all right, cool. So then when I got presented with this opportunity to be able to do it here, I was like, all right, first person I need to speak with is Pro. And I, like I said, I heard bits and pieces, but I was like, let me go ahead and digest it as one body of work. And it just stuck out to me as something that was so overtly personal. You know what I mean? And it got me thinking when I realized, like I said, it seems like it's telling the concept of a story from a guy meeting in a relationship, being in a relationship, getting out of that relationship, and then reflecting. That it almost seemed as if, like, why the character's relationship is like an explanation to why he's having these troubles in his relationship. You know what I mean? Did you ever think about it like that? Like, to way to end it, like, as a perfect bookend to, like, a loop almost. You know what I mean?
I thank you for catching that. Because, like, some stuff I just let be self-expression. But, yeah, no, that's exactly what kind of it was. Because, you know, as I get older, you know, I think about, like, the woes I have, the problems I've had, like, even frustrations, like, relationships, what didn't work out. Like, and I was like, dang, I hear these stories as I'm getting older, how my pops was. I'm like, bro, I wouldn't even raise by you, but I'm so similar to you. Like,
facts.
I'm so similar to you in a lot of ways. And it's just like, bro, like, I wish if we had prior conversations, maybe I wouldn't have acted in certain ways.
Facts.
Maybe I would have just handled them just differently. And just knowing that you were just kind of here and just lingering around, you could have just left a phone call, left the ear. It's just, it was just weird to me. It would, like I said, it was just weird to me. But I never will I put my problems or my shortcomings on anybody else. But it made me just realize it's just like, man, it's bigger than us. And it's as far as like how this life stuff works. Because if somebody I wasn't raised by, somebody I can say I truly don't know, and I have so many similarities to uncanny, even like sound like, it's just weird to me. So I just feel like, you know, God talks in mysterious ways. God is beautiful. But yeah, it definitely ties back into like how my pops was, because I still feel like, you know, we're the same person in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, I completely understand it because I pretty much have the same relationship with my pops. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was there for portions, and then he ended up getting the job other side of the country, moved away when I was like 12, 13. So, you know what I mean? We never really had that super, super, super close relationship. Then we got older. As I got older, as I became a man, him and I had kind of like a silent falling out. You know what I mean? I said some things online that were true. I didn't necessarily look that that could probably be hurtful to him. Yeah. He probably felt a certain type of way, and we ain't really hadn't talked since. You know what I mean?
I feel it.
But one thing my mom used to always tell me is, like, she used to say two things. She'd be like, one, you act just like him. Two, don't be like him. You know what I mean? And so I completely, like, resonated with me, rather, just because you see the struggles that your father makes, even if you're not necessarily, like, connected with him relationship-wise. And you know what I'm saying? It can still end up.
It's crazy you say it, because I feel like me and you share this sentiment, like, when you grow up and you hear stories about, like, you know, your dad is this, your dad is that, your dad is this, your dad is that. But then you kind of, like, when you grow up and stop looking at your parents and start looking at them as people.
Yeah.
And then you start looking at stuff a lot differently. So as, you know, younger, angst, like, dang, why ain't here? And you don't F with me. And then you get older and be like, dang, okay, I see why you kind of might have did this.
Right.
But then the same breath would be like, but yeah, but what about me though? Yeah. You know, so what about, you know what I'm saying? Things that I needed. And I just don't understand, like, that last line and said, how you ain't a father to the ones that really is. Like, I just don't get it. Like, it's different things that just, for me, you know, I'm saying, me and Ken, it just fucks with me, like, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't trying to make this like Dr. Phil session, but like having things like hearing my pops, like, I walk my sister down the aisle, my older sister. Mm-hmm. My pops walked his daughter down the aisle, but that wasn't his daughter. And it's like,
it plays with you.
Yeah, it's like, I don't get it. And you can't just be like, what's up? Nah, nigga, like, run me that fade, man. Yeah. So it's just, man.
Nah, I completely understand. Yeah. I think that's why it just stood out to me so much. And it made sense when I heard it, because then I'm like, okay, this is the complete ending. Not necessarily the ending of the story, but it's the bookend to it. You know what I'm saying? It's the finishing piece that kind of just makes it all make sense. Like the epilogue in a book, basically.
Definitely. Man, I'm glad you caught that. I just wanted it to feel like a complete piece from the drought to relieve. Just like, you went through a mini experience with me. Yeah, I really wanted that, man.
Facts.
I just wanted to take it home that way.
Facts. Well, we do appreciate with you. We really do appreciate you coming through again. Like I said, you're the first guest. You're the first guy to stop by.
Yeah,
you did it. No problems. I asked you just out of the blue. You know what I'm saying? And we've never really had any conversation or any interaction. And you were just like, yeah, bro, I got you. I'm there. So I really, really, really want to appreciate you. Give you your flowers on it.
Nah,
congratulations on an amazing project. You know what I'm saying?
Thank
like
you.
I said, it's definitely my favorite project from you. God, You're Beautiful. It's available on all platforms. And we have Pro in the building. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Shout out to Wes. Shout out to Ted. Like, man, shout out to y'all, the black creators, black innovators. Y'all keep doing you, and I fully support, man.
All right.
I fully support.
Man, thank you so much. This has been Deep Dive from the Memphis Listening Lab. Again, that was God, You're Beautiful, available on all platforms.
Yes,
go listen to it. Pro from Unapologetic. I'm WS. Turn the N, put the N after the I and turn the A to the side. West Infinite. Shout out to Ted for rocking with me. Shout out to everybody at Memphis Listening Lab for the opportunity. We'll see you again later. Peace.